when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Even when I had the firm and working with other accountants, there's certain accountants that eat, breathe, and sleep accounting and like know the tax law inside out, but yeah, there was that.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Torin Shum, and in this episode, we're speaking to Anthony Spagnolo, a jack of all trades and a rising star in the property and development space. We learn how this accountant turned investor and developer has managed to juggle so many projects while still running his property advisory business and much, much more. Spagnolo is used to wearing many hats.
Sort of followed in my father's footsteps, took over the accounting firm, ran that for 12 years. At the same time, my father was actually in the property development space, so he sort of focused on that side of things, and I managed the firm. However, that wasn't always going to be my sort of end goal, I guess. I didn't see myself as staying as an accountant for my whole career. So when we got out of the accounting firm, sort of I was just involved with the development side of things all along, sort of to some extent. And then I just moved into that space also, and sort of family business, you wear many hats. However, I also enjoyed the project management of our developments, and that was always something that interested me. So even when I was making career choices earlier on, it was a decision between sort of construction management and accounting. So I then was able to revisit that, and along the way I also decided to get my builder's license, so that was a little bit more education. One thing led to another, and from that point I was still involved in the family business. However, I then decided to do some of my own developments, and just sort of kept it sort of pretty small scale with townhouses and duplexes. And so that's to date, that's sort of what I still do and love doing. I have also, along the way, now for the last 18 months, I've set up a property advisory, so a bit of a hybrid, I guess, from what I was doing with clients in the accounting space and also my skills in property. So I've combined the two, and I just enjoy helping clients to experience the same journey or wherever I can help, I guess. So
his switch from accounting to property development was a bold move.
Even when I had the firm and working with other accountants, there's certain accountants that eat, breathe, and sleep accounting, and like know the tax law inside out. But a lot of people that meet me say, "What, you're an accountant?" Like I didn't fit the general stereotype or mold.
So why did he do it?
You need a new challenge sometimes in life, and that's sort of property is obviously it starts out as a pat, like sort of one investment property and it's passive income and then it builds up. But sort of all along, I was focused on going to that next level and in the actual development space, I guess. So.
And what does a typical day for Spagnolo look like?
Essentially, I'm dealing with clients on a daily basis. So following up new leads, following up client briefs that we've already sort of worked, clients we're working with. Yeah, so a lot of the day is spent on the phone, and then also sourcing properties, dealing with our agents or property developers or wherever we get source stock. So that takes up a large portion. And then in between, I've also got projects running, so it's just managing the A's, progress of projects, I guess. So that probably doesn't take up as much time as the property advisory, I guess, but you just don't want to take your eye off the ball.
To keep up with the many moving parts involved in his business, Spagnolo likes to stay educated.
Oh, well, the accountancy essentially has been replaced with the property advisory, like the accountancy we sold back in 2010, I think it was. It's not that many things, but recently, a close friend of mine who does all my digital marketing is very niched in the finance and brokerage space. I worked with a lot of brokers. So at the start of the year, I actually got my broking license as well. So not that's just something to have there, and it gives a greater level of understanding, I guess. Every property purchase for a client, we need to know the way to structure loans and that. So I've got supported by a team of brokers. However, that's not my focus is property.
He has always been based in and around his hometown in Western Sydney.
So I grew up in Western Sydney. I lived in sort of Bosley Park and Horsley Park. Attended school at Fairfield Patrician Brothers College, a Catholic school. Western Sydney. Our office, even from that point, was always in or around that area in Fairfield. I've always sort of been based in Western Sydney, I guess. So,
when deciding what to study at university and ultimately what career path he would take, Spagnolo played it safe.
So obviously, at university, I had a conversation with my uncle, who's a lawyer or solicitor, and he said, he sort of advised me. He goes, "Why do you want to do construction? You can do that later on. Just get a profession behind you. So whether it's accountancy, law, and then just the obvious step was accountancy with working like in my school holidays and whatnot." With my father, so I had a bit of a taste of it. I thought anything finance based or analytical would hold me in good stead for open up doors down the track, I guess. So I actually studied at Western Sydney UWS in Parramatta. So I did commerce, Bachelor of Commerce Accounting. So that was my study.
But when eventually moving into the property development space, his skills in accounting were put to good use.
I find that it's everything in life is analytical, even with property, you're crunching the numbers. So it's not that I was able to get away from it totally. So
did Spagnolo branch out after university?
Yeah, no, I was always sort of in the family business, I guess. There was a smooth transition at the time. At the time, my father obviously didn't want me to report to him directly. We had a manager, so it felt like I was working elsewhere. Like probably still got special privileges, I guess. But I did always think about going somewhere else to work. But it just whilst I had that opportunity. And it was easy to sort of get your own client base as well. So just, once things got going, I just didn't have any need to go elsewhere, I guess. It may have been good to work in a larger firm and get some different sort of experience. But I think I always knew that it was going to be a stepping stone. So that's just the way it unfolded.
And what was the family business like?
It was probably a max of 15 staff, I guess, at one stage was the largest that the firm sort of got. So we thought, from individual tax returns, company, clients, self-managed super funds. Yes, yeah, so a bit of a mix, I guess.
What did Spagnolia learn from working closely with so many businesses?
If your debtors aren't paid, I guess, and you've got bills to pay yourself, there's always going to be challenges, I guess. And yeah, cash flow, I guess, is the main issue that most businesses were facing. So.
Positive cash flow allows for Spagnolia to spend more of his time investing.
My strategy for property, I wanted to obviously want to hold as much as possible. So doing projects, I didn't really have that cash flow business anymore. So you'd have to sell along the way. However, I found the property advisory lets me get back to my roots and what I like to do in dealing with people on a daily basis.
And he takes advantage of the downtime between developments.
Oh yeah, I think so as well. And obviously, if it's just even a normal investment, you need time for a asset to go up in value just through capital growth. So even with some of our developments, there's a DA process. You go from a year or so before you turn dirt. So in between, you need some revenue coming in from somewhere. So that's sort of, it's definitely sort of how things came about, I guess, in that sense as I mentioned, when projects go for a year or so for the getting the groundwork done, I felt, also found that I had a little bit more capacity on my day-to-day schedule and needed another challenge. And
coming up after the break, we learn more about Spagnolia's first investment property.
My first investment was sort of close to home. As you do, you sort of know the area, so it's just a standard rental property.
How having good connections has aided him in his investing journey.
I had a network of people through the accounting business, so helped some clients with some projects along the way. And yeah, as you know, make good connections. So yeah, just helping some clients initially.
And that's next. I'm Tarun Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. His property investing journey began in the role of a silent investor.
I was working in the business throughout uni, finished school in 99. So completed uni and sort of started full-time the first year, but then sort of went part-time. So I didn't finish uni till about, I think it was 5 years or 6 years from, 2004, 2005. But I was essentially working as an accountant that whole time. Till about 2010 or 11, say 11. So probably 12 years or thereabouts. Throughout, as I mentioned, we're in sort of property development as well. My first investment was sort of close to home. As you do, you sort of know the area, so it's just a standard rental property. My father did a subdivision.
Since selling the accounting firm almost a decade ago, Spagnolia jumped into the development and property investing space full-time, gaining more hands-on experience.
Working on the larger scale projects, like within the group, we had some other partners. So we've done, apartment buildings, 70 units, some commercial properties, built to Bunnings at Rockdale, some rezoning processes, one on the Central Coast that comes to mind. At the moment, we've got a bulky goods project happening in Western Sydney. So there's all, and a rezoning also in sort of Campbelltown, some land for residential lots, I guess. So there's bits and pieces of everything that I get, like I've got a bit of a feel for the whole space, I guess.
So what was his role?
Yeah, those big ones were just more so from a project management side of things. They weren't personal investments, I guess. It was just more so within the larger scheme of things.
And how did you get involved in these larger projects?
Yeah, I had a network of people through the accounting business. So helped some clients with some projects along the way. And yeah, a lot of, as you know, make good connections. So yeah, just helping some clients initially. Then, as I mentioned, the family business was also property development. Working on those projects is where I sort of really got my teeth into things. To tell you the truth, the sourcing of sites, because obviously I was at the point where I was running jobs, but the groundwork of what makes a good site or the sourcing, I essentially had to do some self-education again. So a lot of seminars and study and, yeah, books and whatnot, and didn't sort of know where to start. Some online courses in property development, I guess. Steve McKnight is one that comes to mind that I did an online sort of mentoring course. So that, and then just actually getting into it and being active, looking online for potential sites, crunching some FISOs, working out what makes a good site, talking to my architects and town planners and whatnot. So yeah, I didn't pull the trigger on my own personal portfolio until a little bit later on. So for a few years, I was just doing that self-education, probably, five or seven years back maybe. Is sort of where things sort of scarred a little bit. My aha moment, I guess, was for a while, yeah, I was we had several partners in the business, so I was bringing projects to the table, but sort of didn't seem like we had enough things going on in the pipeline. So I was waiting for my opportunity to a certain extent. And my wife said to me one day, "Why don't you just start small? Like just look for a duplex, townhouse, and just do it yourself." And then that was something that really got me going, basically. So a lot of FISOs in things in Western Sydney just didn't stack up. So I started looking in better areas. So Eastwood, Ryde. So my first projects came in those sort of areas, Ryde, Eastwood. And I've just completed one in Epping and now one under construction should be completed by the end of the year in Caringbah South. So I basically, through my analysis, found out that you have that to make the sort of the profit margin that I was setting out to achieve, I had to go in a little bit more expensive areas, I guess. Yeah.
What was his first project like, and what did you learn from it?
We already had a DA on it, this one, so I intended to proceed straight away. However, and just put a deposit one day, and I said, I'm never going to know unless I take the plunge. All the numbers look good, so I said give it a go. Then working with my architects, I found that looking at the current DA, I thought it might be achievable to increase it. So it was basically two duplexes. I thought there would be an opportunity to change the design a little bit and achieve 4-bedroom duplexes instead of 3. However, that was a bit of a challenge just due to the Ryde Council changed their LEP because the frontage was, only around 15 metres and the block was around 580 square metres. So it qualified for dual occupancy under the old LEP DCP. However, to make the changes that I wanted to make, I could only do it as a Section 96. So it was a little bit challenging because the new requirements that came out were that for dual ops were that you required 600 square metres and 20 metre frontage. So if I went for a new DA, it wouldn't have qualified. So I had to work with my town planners and architects to get the result that I was after, just for better resales, I guess. So
did he succeed in transforming the duplexes from these three bedrooms into four?
The previous design had a lot of steel in it and wasn't really construction friendly, I guess. So that was another thing that pushed me to sort of go through in changing the design. However, it was a learning experience dealing with council, I guess, and delays. And the previous design also had at the back of the house, so I went from a pitch roof and then lower level where the kitchen was. It looked like really funny because it went from pitch roof then a flat roof. And I couldn't work out why they had designed it like that. And I had no information from the previous owner, who was basically an owner-occupier who was then upgrading his family home to move to a bigger place. So what I found out along the way, once I put in my new design, that I had objections from the next door neighbor. So it was a real challenging neighbor, was very anti-development, I guess. And the reason that there was a flat roof on the back of the property was because this neighbor was actually the president of the Cactus and Succulent Society. So the guy that I purchased the property off actually built that back roof to appease the neighbor because he knew that he had these rare cactuses, I guess, in a certain location and didn't want to block his son to these cactuses. So something that should have been a quick couple of month turnaround turned into about 7 or 8 months. So extra holding costs. I offered to build the neighbor a greenhouse at the back of his property, trying to find the solution, but he just wouldn't budge. So that was a bit of a challenge.
And how long were the delays on this project?
I remember the conversation. He said, get it through your thick skull. These cactuses have been there for 25 years and I'm not moving them. So he didn't move them.
So what happened in the end?
In the end, I got it through with my design. He wasn't happy. Caused a little bit of grief throughout the build process, but I actually, at the time, I didn't have my builder's license. I had a contract build with a mate of mine. So he was giving me daily updates of what was going on with the neighbour causing grief, but I'm glad that I wasn't the builder on that job.
It was all worth it in the end for Spagnolo, who caught the boom of the Sydney market.
Yes, well, I got natural uplift from the actual, the growth. So I caught the boom. So that was one aspect. Look, you can't factor that in when doing your feasibility. So it's a bonus. So yeah, it more comes down to hard work and work crunching your numbers on the current market situation, I guess, and anything else is a bonus. So.
When taking the delays into account, the development had a speedy finish.
Another thing that was tricky, I guess, was that I didn't allow for was probably the time that it takes to get in this instance, it was a strata subdivision. So probably you got to get things going a little bit more with the checklist, working with your sort of surveyor to get the OSD positive OSD tanks, which is for drainage. You got to get your positive covenant signed off, registered with the bank before you get your certifier to then go through his checklist to give you the final OSD. So lucky I was intending on keeping those finished products, I guess, prior to having the OC. Had like an interim sort of OC, but I mean, until you get your final OC, you can't actually, if I wanted to sell the product, probably took another 5 to 6 months at the back end of the project to get the strata subdivision. So yeah, the whole project was a learning experience.
And where do these properties currently stand?
I've sold one now of those properties. And then I've gone on and I've done another three duplex developments since then. I got one under construction now in Caringbah South. So Yeah, so the aim is to buy and hold, but yeah, I had to sell one to fund this other project. And yeah, even if I've got to sell one out of each project as we go, yeah, as long as you can sort of realize some profit and hold on to it, refinance at the end to get a bit of equity out. So.
So, inspired by Anthony Spagnuolo's journey, we'll keep the conversation going in a future episode of Property Investory. We'll discuss his growing portfolio and what projects he's currently working on.
That's six properties, plus then hopefully at the end of the year there'll be an extra two on top of that.
Some of his best and worst investing memories.
That was another drawn-out project, I guess, that cost us a fair bit of time, like probably 6 months to 8 months maybe.
And that's next time in a future episode of Property Investory.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.